Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
For tonight's sleep story, we travel to the south of France. I'm Stephen Fry, and I'll be your guide as we meander lazily through the lavender fields and sleepy villages of Provence. The story was written by Phoebe Smith and is called Blue Gold. You'll smell it before you even see it. That unmistakable aroma that fills your nose and seeps into your senses, instantly mellowing into a smooth and soothing scent.
Whatever it is, I want to drink a cup of it. That was Stephen Fry, obviously, reading a story, as you said, called Blue Gold. It can be found on an app called Calm, the intention of which is to send you to sleep. With us now is the person that Stephen Fry mentioned there, the author in residence, Phoebe Smith. Phoebe, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, thanks for having me.
What did you do before you had this job?
So I'm a travel writer. So my normal job is writing stories that certainly don't send people to sleep. It's kind of grabbing their attention and making sure they reach the very end of the story. And then I was approached by one of the founders of Calm, who'd read one of those stories and said, hey, I think you'd be really good at writing stories to send people to sleep. So I wasn't sure whether I should take that as a compliment or
not.
I
wouldn't.
But no, I was fascinated by the idea of writing a bedtime story for a grown-up. And I thought back to when I was a kid and people would read me stories to help me fall asleep. And it wasn't that they were so boring I fell asleep. Mm. It was, I really wanted to hear them. So the idea is to write travel pieces, which I do, that grab enough attention to get someone to listen to it, but then slowly and steadily send them off to sleep.
Okay, so does that mean that you have to structure your story in a specific way?
Definitely.
To get them to sleepy
definitely.
Town?
So anything remotely dramatic or exciting has to happen right near the beginning, because it's not about having this narrative arc that kind of peaks at this big moment sort of two-thirds of the way through. And then after that, I'm hoping they never reach the end of the story. So it's soothing them, it's using certain language and words to kind of relax them, but keep their attention, because the whole thing is to quieten all the noise in our heads that stops us falling to sleep easily and make us not worry about it, make us just focus on this story. But then through focusing and using beautiful words that soothe people, then they will fall asleep.
So would there be words or words that make a certain sound that you'd avoid?
Anything that would jar them. So if you think of the words like crack or pop or something that would, you know, sounds like I'm about to list cereal there, but you know what I mean? It's anything that would jar them. And it's also, I only write about places I've actually travelled to, so that nothing would jar them because I've said something incorrect or I've described something that doesn't seem true. And it seems to work. I mean, when I was sent the first one to approve, because I was still very sceptical, I listened to it to approve. And as I was listening, it was quite late in the day, I actually fell asleep myself. So I knew there was something in it. And I get so many emails and comments on social media from people thanking me because I've helped them fall asleep and asking for the script because they're quite interested, but they can never stay up to the end.
So but presumably also the places that you write these pieces about have to have, well, I don't know if they would have a soporific quality, but I suppose you can't be writing about travel in Iraq or New York even, because
no,
that's a noisy...
But you've got to think of something a bit smaller and zoomed in. So New York, for instance, you could do something arguably on the subway or taking the train into the countryside of New York State.
Yeah.
So it's more finding, I guess, the journeys within these places that would make a really good sleep story. And yeah, it's definitely thinking about that carefully. And at the start, I would think of a sleep story I could write based on somewhere I'd already been. Now I'm actually travelling to places with a sleep story in mind. So I'm purposely trying to find things to go and do an experience that I know would make for a really good sleep story.
And so generally speaking, how long do the stories last for?
They're anywhere between about sort of 20 minutes to 40 minutes. Mm. And our research shows that most people fall asleep within the first 10.
Right.
Yeah.
So does that mean that really your story only lasts 10 minutes and the rest is just you going blurby smirgy doogie doogie just to make them go
Wouldn't
to sleep?
Wouldn't it be nice if I could? But no, we also have a lot of people who love them so much that they listen to them to fall asleep and then they re-listen to them, say at work, to try and
find out what happened
and find out more about the place I'm writing about. So no, it all has to be very well written. And to me, it sounds bizarre. You know, I've written my whole life trying to make sure people stay awake, and apparently I have a gift for making people fall asleep.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. Plus also, presumably people are listening to these on iPods or that kind of thing. I mean, if you fall asleep with the things in your ears, isn't that bad for you?
Most people I speak to tend to listen to it on their phone or tablet, and they have it by the side of their bed, and they don't have earphones in, so
right,
they just listen to it talking, and it's as such that you can turn all the lights and turn everything off, so nothing is sort of jarring you from that, and that seems to work. I mean, I know some people who do like to sleep with headphones in. I personally don't, and I would always listen to them without.
And then when the story comes to an end, does it kind of shut itself down?
It does, and it tends to, after the story finishes, there's still a bit of sort of sound effects or music or whatever has been going on in the background, and it slowly goes quiet. It doesn't just suddenly stop, which again could run the risk of suddenly waking you up.
And now you are a fan of sleeping. You're an extreme sleeper.
I
understand. Describe what that is.
So it doesn't just mean I sleep for a really long time. It actually means that I seek out very weird and wonderful places to spend the night. So this summer just gone, I did something called the Extreme Sleep Out Challenge, which saw me suspended off 10 UK landmarks on consecutive nights trying to raise money for a young people's homeless charity. So this were things like sea cliffs off the side of a skyscraper in central London, from the Spinnaker Tower in Portsmouth, over a 100-metre drop cave. The more extreme, the better.
And when you were off the side of the building, were you kind of vertical or horizontal?
Horizontal. So I tend to sleep on what we call porta ledges, which are, you know, these big wall climbers use them. So they're a horizontal ledge, but they're suspended using a series of ropes, and you're in a harness. But the thing is, when I do these kind of really extreme sleeps, and I've slept in sort of extreme temperature wise, so inside glaciers up in the Arctic and that sort of thing down in Antarctica, I'm so focused on what I'm doing, on staying safe, on staying warm, on staying dry, whatever that happens to be, that I sleep really well. And I notice that when I'm back in my own bed, that's when I tend to struggle. And I think it's because of what I said before. So many of us, we have so much going on our heads that we worry about that. And then we worry about actually falling to sleep. And that's part of the problem. Once you start thinking about falling to sleep and thinking, oh my goodness, I have to get to sleep. If I don't, you know, this will happen. That's when we really can't sleep. And so I think it's giving people a focus on something they're interested in. And so they stop worrying about all that stuff, and they stop worrying about falling to sleep as well.
But if you're hanging off the side of a building, would not an extreme fear of death keep you awake?
Absolutely not.
Do you actually fall asleep in these places?
Very well, yeah. Yeah, like I said, I think it's because I'm just so focused on what I'm doing. And I, you know, I've taken precautions, I've stayed safe, that I'm just so tired by the end. I just fall straight to sleep.
Are there situations in which you find it difficult to fall asleep?
Like I said, in my own bed, when I have tons of deadlines weighing down on me and emails to answer, like the rest of us.
when the rest of you are falling to sleep, Phoebe's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to finish your story. How many of these have you written?
I've written nearly 20. 16 of them are on the app now.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing one every month in my role as a sleep storyteller in residence.
And are you the only writer, or are they going to branch out and hire more people?
No, so there are some others. Some are, most are based in the US. I'm their sort of British one. But my specialty is the travel stuff. So other people write some fiction. Mine tends to be non-fiction.
Right.
Stories.
Okay. And Phoebe will be delivering a talk on her work this evening at Hodges Vegas on Dawson Street in Dublin, obviously, at 6 p.m. And it's free to go in. Do people actually fall asleep at your talks?
They have the option to.
Okay. So bring your PJs.
I booked a difference.
Yeah. And she won't be offended. But she'll miss the whatever they give away, the free tea or whatever. Phoebe, thanks very much.
Thank you.
For speaking with us today. That was a Phoebe Smith, sleep storyteller in residence with the app Calm. We're going to take a break after that. Farming.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.